scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left.
Off the glass in left corner to Aguila. Aguila in the left circle. Passing to Yale. A shot. Save made by Al Aguila. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts.
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg.
All right, let's get things going. Happy Friday. It is Friday, August 23rd, and this hour of Flames Talk is underway. It's Steinberg along with you downtown in our Groundworks downtown studio. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. It's a Friday, which means it's time to check in with our buddy Eric Francis. It's time for the Eric Francis Hour. The Eric Francis Hour brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Live standard bred racing is every Friday and Saturday at Century Downs Racetrack and Casino. Visit thehorses.com. Must be 18 plus. Please play responsibly. Let's say hello to Eric now from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. Hello, EF. How we doing?
I'm excellent, my man. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing really well. And I'm doing specifically well because I realized that you've been listening to the show this week, which warms my heart. That makes me a very happy boy.
You fell for that old ruse when I said I listened to the show?
No, you even mentioned specifics when I spoke with you earlier. You can't go back on this now.
No, you know what? As we get closer to the season, it's kind of, I won't say I tune out for a couple months in the summer, but I try to get my mind off the Flames. And not much is going on. But you guys reeled me in with your hot takes segment, you and Wesley. So I wanted to hear what your hot takes were so that I had some ammunition next time I tee it up with Wes or see you in a bar.
Yes. And I would like to combine both those things, you and Wes in a bar. That'd be good. I'd be up for that.
We've done that before and we could do it again. Yeah.
I would really like that. Well, one of the, and when we were talking, setting up our hour a little earlier on this Friday, one of Wes's hot takes, definitely, struck a chord with both you and I. And I think it's a good way to kick off the hour because Wes suggested in one of his hot takes on Thursday's Flames Talk that, you know, Rasmus Anderson, who feels like is going to be one of the hot button topics this season for the Flames. Wes said Rasmus Anderson will remain a member of the Flames for the entire coming season. And he now has 2 years left on his contract. He is one of the lone remaining former core members of this team since all of the overhaul that we've seen since the end of the 2022 playoffs. What do you have a feel at all, Eric, on where things sit with Rasmus Anderson? Do you have a feel at all as to where this one might be going?
Yeah, I mean, Rasmus Anderson is not going to be here long term, right? He's not going to re-sign with the Calgary Flames past 2 years from now. That's a given. There's nobody who could convince me otherwise. The debate over whether or not he'll get through this season is a valid one. I mean, and already people have been having that discussion. I get asked about it quite a bit, to be honest. Does Rasmus Anderson want to be here? That's the way people put it. Does he want to be here? And they kind of say it like as if, like, why would he want to be here? And I don't think, you know, I'm not sure if that's fair or not for them to kind of ask it that way. But I think it's a legitimate question to see because so many other veterans last year, many of them fellow Swedes, decided they didn't want to be part of, you know, this rebuild. And I'm calling it straight up rebuild. I've been saying that for a long time.
How dare you?
You and I have had this discussion. I went from retool to when they traded Markstrom, it's now officially a rebuild. You can't tell me otherwise. You can't go into a season with two goalies who have combined for, what, 30 starts in the National Hockey League or whatever the number is and tell me that it's anything but a rebuild. But anyway, we're not having that discussion right now. To me, the first couple of months of the season goes will determine whether or not Rasmus Anderson is here past the trade deadline. And here's why. This is a guy who wears his emotions on his sleeve maybe more than anybody else. Like, I give him so much credit. The year before, he really made a concerted effort to come and address the media like almost always, you know, after loss, after loss, after loss. He was the guy who made an effort. It was almost to me like he was almost not like an open campaign to try and become a captain or anything like that. I'm not saying that, but he really proved to me, and I think a lot of people, that he is a leader of this team, one of the leaders. And so he came and faced the music, but man, does he wear it, right? I mean, when those press availabilities after a game, he's just sitting there shaking his head and he is bubbling. He is mad. He's frustrated. He doesn't have answers a lot of times. Nobody does. And, you know, on a night when the team comes out flat or the effort's not there, which doesn't happen a lot, the effort, that's pretty much always been there under Ryan Huska. You know, he just sits there and faces the music. So if things go sideways the first couple months, like I think a lot of people, you know, I think it's understandable for people to think that's the way it's going to go because it's a rebuild. And you got a lot of young guys who are going to be in this lineup. That frustration early on may get pretty old pretty quick. And it's easy to look at your buddies in all these other cities. Lindholm's in Boston. I'm pretty sure they're going to have a pretty good year. His buddy Hanifin is in Vegas. Yeah. Pretty sure they're going to have a good year. Like, start to look around where all these guys are. They were seeking greener pastures. And for the most part, they got it outside of Johnny. They've all kind of landed in spots where the team has got, you know, perhaps a better short-term future ahead of them, including this year. So after a couple of months, I wouldn't be surprised if Razzis went to management and said, you know, I'm not sure that I can do this much any longer. I know you're going to trade me next year. Why don't you trade me this year? That's the way I kind of see it happening if things get off to a really poor start. If things are really going well, I think he's the kind of guy who could take a ton of pride and being one of the main guys on this team. He's one of the heart and soul guys. He's going to block every shot he can. He's going to be in on every scrum. Like, he plays with a ton of emotion. And I think, here's what I do know. I know that he's kind of been told, look, like, you're our guy. We need you to be the backbone of this blue line. We need you to play even more minutes than you did last year. You played almost 24 minutes a night last year, which, you know, I think he'll play more this year. And I think he could take a lot of pride in that, and that could be good for his career moving forward as they eventually shop him. So, sorry, that's a long-winded way of saying I could see it going either way, but those are the scenarios under which I think he might ask for a trade earlier than normal, or a scenario where he could hold on and say, you know what, I'm going to tough this out for another year.
What do you think the Flames should be thinking on that front? Like, should they be – because I know where I am. I think – Much like what you said, I think the way they're handling it and what they're kind of instilling in Razzis is good. Like, if you're Craig Conroy and Ryan Huska, go to them and say, hey, we're putting this blue line on your shoulders. You're going to play more than you ever have. You're going to be put in situations, every situation. We're going to rely on you as our guy. And we want to put a letter on you. We want you to be one of our leaders. We see you as one of the core pieces for the long term, and see if you can empower him that way and see if that is enough to, you know, make him want to be a part of the solution. And I'm not trying to suggest that, because Razzis has been consummate team guy since he's been here. So I'm not trying to suggest in any way, shape, or form that Razzis isn't that guy, but he'll be entering unrestricted free agency in a couple of summers for the first time, and he'll have the opportunity, much like Noah Hanifin did this past summer, to go where he would like to if he gets to unrestricted free agency. And so I think if you're the Flames, you kind of have to convince a guy who will be sought after on the market, who is looking at a big raise for his next deal. I think that if you're the Flames, trying to convince him to be a part of the solution is a smart move. And so that's how I'd be going about it. I'd be using this year as trying to convince Razzis to be a part of this long-term vision, and then see if next summer you can enter into some contract negotiations. I don't know if that path or that tactic works in the long run. I don't know if that gets you where you want to be. But if I'm the Flames and I'm management, I'm still trying to keep Razzis in the fold for the long term. I'm still going about my business as if the plan is to extend him on this current contract.
Yeah, which is a bit of a facade, but for sure you've got to keep that door open. And man, would you love it if a guy, you know, we're not used to in this city, you know, cornerstones of this franchise saying, no, I do want to sign an extension and stay long term. It's obvious. It's an obvious issue in this marketplace that we've dealt with for years and years and years. If a guy did come to you and say, I really do want to stay, boy, you'd have to seriously consider it. Look, Rasmus Anderson is only 27 years of age. You know, by the time he has to sign a new deal, if he's only 29, there's still some damn good years ahead of him. And, you know, he's really ingratiated himself in this marketplace. People really like the guy. They see him as a leader and one of the backbone, you know, one of the pillars of the blue line. But, you know, I just don't see that happening. So the other thing is playing into my theory that, you know, if things go sideways the first couple months in, then I think much like last season, the Calgary Flames went into the season going, man, we hope everything kind of comes together. And if we have a really good start and we're a playoff team and things are going well, we're starting getting to the trade deadline and we're in a nice spot and we think we can make the playoffs. Like maybe we could convince some of these guys to stay because the thing, everything's moving in a good direction. That's what they tried to do last year. And obviously early on, it was pretty evident that it was going to be time to dismantle the thing. This year, I think very similarly, but really only about Rasmus Anderson. And if things go sideways this year and 2-3 months in, it's like, wow, okay, we're going to miss the playoffs by quite a bit. Frustration's mounting, you know, for guys who still think that this team can make the playoffs. It would be incumbent on the team to then maybe try to trade Rasmus Anderson, or at least listen very closely to the offers. And here's why. Look at what happened last year to Noah Hanifin. And there was this debate, and, you know, Hanifin, remember, he told me he really much regretted that there was this feeling out there that he held the organization hostage and kind of demanded to go to really only two or three teams. And that's the player's power when you wait that long and that close to the deadline. That's what a lot of these players hold the power of. And that's exactly the way it'll go with Rasmus Anderson if you wait to the trade deadline the year that his contract expires. So you're going to get a whole lot more for Rasmus Anderson at this trade deadline than you are next trade deadline. That is not even up for discussion. That is very, because
not only that, you're also getting him for two playoff runs as opposed to one.
100%. You're giving him as much time as possible to kind of settle into an organization and really make his mark for two playoff runs. So, no, I think that, you know, this general manager, this management team is still thinking, you know, if this happens, if that happens, and if this happens, we can make the playoffs this year. There's a whole lot of ifs revolving around that theory, and I don't agree with it. It's fine that they want to be that optimistic, and hey, we've seen, look at Vancouver last year. Nobody saw that coming. And I don't want to equate them to Vancouver. This is a different sort of youth movement. And I think it's one that the team should wholeheartedly embrace and stick with and not be sidetracked. Look, didn't we see this years ago? Boy, I think when Johnny and Monahan were really young and they were kind of rebuilding, and then all of a sudden they decided, oh, my God, we're actually a really good team. We got to start adding, not subtracting. And it really set the organization back in a lot of ways.
Well, it was essentially after – so it was Johnny's rookie year where they made the playoffs and beat Vancouver – and then the very next draft, so that summer of 2015, after they made it to round two against Anaheim, that was when they traded a first round pick and a couple seconds for Dougie Hamilton, and they went right from being in rebuild mode, and then that draft they were in, we're acquiring players again. The rebuild's over. So yeah, for sure that was something that they looked like they were on the path to a rebuild, and then very quickly, they went in a different direction.
Yeah, and this organization ripped the Band-Aid off, you know, whether they had a choice or not. But last year, they ripped the Band-Aid off, and it's rebuild time. And, you know, rebuilds aren't 1 year. Rebuilds are 3, 4, 5, 6, look at Edmonton, 8, 9 years. So, like, it takes a long time. Everybody's got the new building targeted, 2027, for hopefully this team starting to now then be on the upswing, starting to understand who their core players are moving forward, starting to be a team that can compete for the playoffs on a regular basis. I think everybody in this city is fine with that. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of painful nights. There are going to be some painful months. Pain is part of rebuilding, but it's necessary for this organization to endure for the foreseeable future. So anything that adds to that, anything that adds to, you know, building.
Mm-hmm.
And that means trading veterans for assets, young assets. That's what it's going to be all about. So again, Anderson will be traded. The only question is it this trade deadline? I think it will be, because I think that the team will be clearly out of a playoff race at that point in time, and it will be time to cash in big time.
So you are fairly convinced that a trade is the way this is going to go. Like, you don't, you're not as optimistic that there could be a long-term potential for the two sides?
No, I'm not at all convinced that Rasmus Anderson would want to stay in Calgary long-term. And, I haven't had conversations with him hinting that. I know he speaks highly of the city. He contributes to the community. Like, this is not, you know how I always used to say Johnny Gaudreau was not going to re-sign in mm-hmm. Calgary? And again, it wasn't because Johnny didn't like it here. There were other reasons. And I just think that Rasmus Anderson is going to follow the trend that we've seen, you know, a lot in this city, which is veterans, when they get a chance to choose their destination, they're going to. And I know when you get traded at the deadline, you're not exactly choosing your destination, especially if it happens a year and a half before your contract is up. But, you know, playing things out to the point where you can eventually choose your destination, I don't see why an athlete wouldn't do that. I really don't. Like, even if Rasmus Anderson potentially wanted to stay here long-term, or at least would consider it, why wouldn't he play it out to the very last minute and sign that summer, if whether it's in Calgary or somewhere else?
Right.
Like, it's just, he's already made his money too. That's another factor in all this. Like, if you're a young guy and you haven't made that big, you know, you haven't cashed in big at any point in time, that's one thing. You may want to take the money that's thrown at you, say 6-7 years and a whole lot of money. But he's already made a whole bushel of money, and now it's not necessarily just about making money. He's set for life. It's now about, you know, trying to find the perfect scenario for him and his family. And I just think he's seen so much evidence of other guys doing that elsewhere that he's going to want to follow suit.
What's best for the Flames in your eyes? Like, if Raz was completely open to whatever, what's best for Calgary? Is it best for them to pursue re-signing him, or is it best to think about making a move?
It's a great question, and I want you to answer that question too after I take a stab
sure.
at it. Because I'll say this, and I think Wes said this the other day, and I totally agree, because we've said this before about guys, but if you trade Rasmus Anderson, your goal is to go out and try to find the next Rasmus Anderson, right? So, you know, you're losing a whole bunch of years in there with hopes of trying to find another Rasmus Anderson. But, you know, at 29, you know, with a team that's kind of going to be young and on the up, you know, upswing in 2 or 3 years from now, I just don't know if you're going to want to commit long-term to that guy, because he's going to command a long-term deal for a lot of money. And I'm just not sure that that's the way the organization wants to go. Hey, he's their number one defenseman right now. I guess we can debate that. I think we should debate that later, whether he or Mackenzie Weegar is the number one defenseman on this team. But he's either 1 or 1A. They don't grow on trees. And but I still think ultimately long-term, if you cash in a year and a half ahead of time, you're going to get enough assets where ultimately in 3 years' time, you're going to be better off without Rasmus Anderson.
Yeah, it's a really strange one for me, because you're right about the assets you'll get for him, no doubt. And yet, knowing how many people have left and knowing how difficult it's been to keep players, if you've got a guy like Raz who does at some point, and I'm not, again, I have no idea whether or not this is in the cards or not, but if at some point Rasmus does express to them that, yeah, you know what, I would like to be here and I would like to explore staying, I think there's reason to go down that road if you're the Flames, because yes, you've got Zane Parekh and Hunter Brustevich and Jeremy Poirier and Etienne Morin, and you've got some really nice defense prospects in the system, no doubt about it. But as of right now, there are still only two proven top four NHL defensemen on this roster in Anderson and Weegar. And so to have both of those guys signed longer term gives just more of a chance for some of these other guys to be a little more insulated as they try to make their way to the NHL. And so, you know, in 3 years' time, if Zane Parekh all goes according to plan and he's ready to be playing top-pairing minutes in the NHL, well, then you can easily shuffle down a Uyghur or an Anderson and reduce their role a little bit. But you'd much rather have that and be faced with the quote-unquote problem of, okay, which guy do we need to reduce their minutes to make room for the younger guy as opposed to forcing guys into spots that maybe they're not ready. So, I don't know. I think that if there is a desire on the player's side, I think there is plenty of reason for the Flames to make Anderson a part of the future for the long term, even though it will be a raise on his contract and he'll be getting a significant deal. That's me. I don't know if that is actually the realistic thing that's going to happen, but in a perfect world, yeah, I if I'm the Flames, I would want Rasmus as part of my future.
Yeah, fair enough. And, you know, it harkens back to the situation that the Oilers were in. Was it 2 years ago or 3 years ago when Ryan Nugent-Hopkins was approaching unrestricted free agency and, you know, could have written his ticket in a lot of different places, but said, I want to be in Edmonton. Like, I want to be an Edmonton Oiler. And I think the Oilers are sitting there going, wow, like, when a guy says he wants to be here, like, we're not used to that. Now it's different, right? Now they're attracting guys like flies because they're, you know, arguably the best team in hockey or certainly up there. But you know, for many, many years, they were in the same boat as Calgary and, you know, they couldn't attract guys here and they certainly couldn't keep them. When Ryan Nugent-Hopkins said, look, I've been here my whole career. I want to be here my whole career. Like, I want to sign here. They almost have to do it because obviously he's a competent player and a really solid part of their team. You know, so I think you look at a lot of veterans like that and say, God, when guys really do want to stay here, that's so rare. Let's lock them up. But I'm just telling you that I don't think that there's much chance at all that that's the way Rasmus Anderson is going to look at it.
I think, like most players,
is fair too. Yeah. That's not a criticism, you know, and people shouldn't get mad every time a guy, you know, when he has a chance to go and choose his own fate, decides to do that. I mean, in the real world, people are usually applauded for that sort of gumption. But in the hockey world, you know, it's seen as a betrayal or, you know, the guy's a turncoat. I don't see it that way at all. Listen, Hanifin wanting to leave, Lindholm, all these guys, I think they made the right choice. And I think it's better for them, you know, on their own, in their own personal situations, you know, especially having talked to them about the reasons why. You know, I can't ever fault a guy for that.
Well, and here's the thing, you know, as of the last few years, there's no question we've seen an exodus from this organization, starting with Johnny Gaudreau on that night before free agency to where we are now. It's been unprecedented. Like you've been covering this team longer than I have, but I've been covering this team a long time, and I don't remember anything like the last 2 years. You've been covering this team the longest in the market, and have you seen anything like what's happened the last couple of years with players opting to leave on their own volition?
No, but it, you know, don't forget, like, after this team won their Stanley Cup, there was kind of an exodus. Pretty much everybody who could leave over the next 2-3 years left. But that's so different too. Like, you know, that's apples and oranges. That's before the salary cap. That was guys just saying, look, like, I'm in a market that only spends X amount of dollars a year, and I can go to a market that spends 5 times that amount or 3 times that amount. Like, I have to go somewhere else. I go to my family, my agent, you know, the NHLPA, to move and go somewhere else. So, again, you couldn't fault any of those guys one by one. Al MacInnis, Joe Nieuwendyk, Theo Fleury, provincially saying, look, my value is only higher if I leave. It's not any good if I stay here because they just don't have the market. They don't have the money in this market. So I get that. Yeah, but, yeah, it was a very unique situation, but only because largely because everybody, you know, all these pillars had their contracts ending in the same year. So that's why it just was so stark. This year will be radically different, you know, in terms of it'll be a whole lot quieter around the Calgary Flames. I don't think I'll be laughing at that statement in a couple months. They want it that way.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to get it that way. They're just going to quietly go about building a team for the next 3 or 4 years is the way I look at it. And that's the way they want it. Can I just say one other thing about Anderson?
Yeah.
You know, the term empowering is I think key here, because I do think that they've told him and they want him to be such an important part of this team and helping these youngsters and showing by example, you know, how to play with such emotion and ruggedness and all that. You know, but as I said, a couple months in, if things are going sideways for the team or for Anderson, I just think, you know, it will speed up the exodus. The power play is such an interesting part of that to me, because Rasmus Anderson late in the season was kind of taken off first power play unit, you know, time. He was kind of a fixture as the number one guy on this team all year long. But to me, you know, when they say they want him to play, you know, top minutes and all this, I'm not sure he's going to or should play more power play minutes than Mackenzie Weegar. And that's going to be an interesting thing. You know, the power play is being run by someone different now. Cale McClain's going to take it over. And you know, we're going to see how he utilizes his personnel. I think Anderson will be a huge part of it. If he's not number one, he's number two with a bullet. But, you know, they constantly have been frustrated with him not shooting the puck more. And Mackenzie Weegar shoots the puck more and got 20 goals this year because of it. You know, they're blue in the face trying to ask Rasmus Anderson to shoot the puck more. He talks about it all the time, and it's just not happening. I just look back at the numbers. He had a career high this year, actually, for shots on goal at 159. That ties his career high. That is nowhere near where any other defenseman on the power play, running a power play, is at. Like, almost all of them are at 200 shots or more. And so I wonder if, you know, Weegar will end up taking over that spot. Weegar had 200-plus shots this year. He's done that a couple times in his career. He knows how to do it. I don't know. I just think his fate, Anderson's fate on the power play, will control how happy he is, too. Because if suddenly he's on the second power play unit, or Lord knows if Miramanov is on the second power play unit and Anderson's kind of not part of it, which I don't see, boy, I think that would really expedite him wanting out.
Yeah. Yeah, the power play is fascinating. And, you know, going into last season, I really felt like there was a big chance, because I saw two seasons ago, the first year post Johnny and Matthew, I saw some really good signs and some really positive things of with watching Rasmus on the power play, and it seemed like those weren't there anywhere near as consistently last year. I still think Rasmus has the skill set, the way he walks the line, the way he thinks the game, and he's got a good shot. Like, I still think he's got the tools, and I think just overall skill set-wise, he's the best guy to run the number one power play unit. But to your point, didn't, like, they've been harping on him to shoot the puck more over the last number of years, and we didn't see it. We didn't see the increase that I think the organization was looking for, especially in that area. So I'm curious how the power play plays into everything this year. Whether it be training camp early in the season, I'm really curious as to how that position plays itself out, because, you know, when you and I were talking on the phone a little earlier as well, Miramanov was getting power play time last year over Rasmus as well. So I'm really interested to see how that plays itself out.
It could really play a big role in you know, where Anderson's head's at. So anyway, just another factor I thought I'd throw in there, because, you know, Cale McClain will help decide that. So will Ryan Huska. But more of the point, I think Rasmus Anderson will dictate a lot of that. I think starting the season, you have to start the season with Rasmus as your number one blue liner. And you know, he, in that regard, he controls his own fate. If he shoots the puck, if the power play is working, he'll stay as the number one power play defenseman. And I think that would add to his happiness and maybe, you know, his desire to want to extend his stay in Calgary past this season. But if it goes another way, it's just another question that we'll be asking.
We are well underway. It's the Eric Francis Hour on this Friday on Flames Talk. Eric from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. My name is Pat Steinberg. The Eric Francis Hour brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Live standardbred racing is every Friday and Saturday at Century Downs Racetrack and Casino. Visit thehorses.com. Must be 18+. Please play responsibly.
Anything and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's a Friday edition, and it's your Eric Francis Hour on this August 23rd. Eric from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. My name is Pat Steinberg. Hopefully you're having a lovely Friday. You know, Eric, one of the things you said before we paused was, Bill, let's have the conversation about who is the number one D on this team, Rasmus Anderson or Mackenzie Weegar? And I think it's a really interesting conversation, especially knowing that Weegar took over as the power play quarterback in the backstretch of last season. When it was all said and done, Rasmus Anderson finished number one on the team in average time on ice per game at 23 minutes and 50 seconds. Mackenzie Weegar number two at 22:56. So they were separated by less than a minute in terms of their average ice time. But Rasmus Anderson did get the most ice time on the team last year. Mackenzie Weegar number two. They're about the same age. Weegar's a little bit older. Who's the number one guy for you?
Well, that's why I threw it out there. I mean, I guess when you look at what the pairings are likely to shake out as, I think that helps dictate who's your number one guy. And I do think because your number one guy is a guy who's going to be going against the other team's best players. Obviously, you know, he's playing those sort of minutes and needs a partner who can be counted on to play against the other team's best guys. I really do think, and you and I spoke a little bit about this morning, like I really do think Jake Bean will end up being paired with Rasmus Anderson. And if that's the pairing, then I think, you know, you've got a scenario where, you know, those two, they both have the experience to play against the top players, as opposed to Weegar and Mira Manoff, who's probably playing in that second pairing role. You know, if that's the case, I'm not sure you trust Mira Manoff to be, you know, I'm not sure he's had enough experience to go up against the other team's top players. So I guess that's how I'd kind of answer it. Weegar and Anderson have not really played together much, and it's not really been that successful. I think that's a power duel. I think ultimately if you kind of force that one, I do think it could work. But boy, does that ever put a strain on, you know, your second and third pairings on this team. You do kind of want to spread the love. So I think by virtue of the fact that Jake Bean's got more experience than Mira Manoff, I would say Bean and Anderson will be that top pairing. I think Weegar will be in that second pairing with Mira Manoff. Ball and Pahal will be potentially the third pairing. You know, we could debate how that's all going to be rounded out and who comes in if there's injuries and all that. But I think in that vein, and because I think they've empowered Anderson, I think he's going to be considered the number one guy. You know, he's 3 years, you know, almost 3 years younger than Weegar, which is kind of significant. I know you said they're similar in age. I mean, they're both veterans. They've both proven themselves, and they're both really star players at the back end. But I think I've got to go with Anderson. Now, you know, Weegar, I do think one day will end up being the captain of this team. Like, I think because of, and I say that because of the long-term contract. I say that because his attitude, when asked about, he was one of the guys I went to right away when they were trading all these guys and said, like, are you in for this? Are you in for this long-term? And hey, words don't always mean everything. I remember, Johnny and Kachuk both said in their exit, availabilities that they definitely, would like to come back to Calgary and all this. That's what you say. You have to say it. You should say it. But I really thought that Weegar was over the top with his words and his attitude and his excitement for being a Calgary Flame long term. I really believe what he had to say. So I think long term, that's the kind of attitude and leadership that I think you're going to see eventually end up with a C on his shirt.
Yep.
C on his jersey. You agree with that?
Yeah, I think he's got all of the hallmarks to be that guy. And I think he would have been one of the names very much in the mix if Michael Backlund decided he did not want to re-sign with the team. And because there was, there is an obvious name for the next captain of the team if Michael Backlund was here, and it just happened to be Michael Backlund. And but if he opted to go the trade route, and if Craig Conroy did find a taker for him, or, you know, had he not signed and entered the season last year on the final year of a deal, and they were still looking to name a captain, I think that Mackenzie Weegar would have absolutely been in that mix. And I think that the thing that I think really puts him at a different level for me now is what you just talked about. His engagement level, his investment level of being a part of this and not having any trouble, you know, talking about the need for a new arena, or not having any trouble calling out the team when they play poorly, or putting a lot of responsibility on his own shoulders, and you know, talking, and not, like, he has mentioned it on multiple occasions now. If you don't want to be here, we don't want you. That's not because we don't like you, but we want people that want to be a part of this team, and I want to be a part of this team. And I just think from a veteran who is established as a really good player in this league, to hear that is not only important, but I think also frames him as a really good leadership candidate going forward.
Yep, I think so too. And I, you know, I think that this is a guy who, you know, he's a Canadian guy. So I think, you know, his desire to play in front of a you know, just to be in Canada and to play, and understands how big a deal it is to play in Canada. Listen, when he was in Florida for a while there, you know, it was Dudsville there. Like, it was terrible to play there. The crowds were, like, awful. Great place to play, don't get me wrong. He loved the lifestyle. I mean, that was a big adjustment for him and Huberto, obviously, to come here, trade in their flip-flops for Mucklucks or whatever. But, I think that you got a situation where he's really happy here, and that's obvious. So I think it's fantastic that, you know, he signed that long-term deal, and that makes it even easier for him to kind of lean into it and say, I want to be that guy. And, you know, he did when he was brought here last year or a couple of years ago, you know, people knew he had, you know, big upside. They knew that, you know, he had star status, but his numbers took a bit of a dip last year, and obviously there was an adjustment period there. But last year, the way he rebounded at over 50 points and 20 goals, I mean, there's no more doubt that he is that star defenseman that they thought they were acquiring when they traded for him. Do you remember when they acquired him, and that trade was obviously a big stunner, and you know, things haven't exactly fallen into place the way a lot of people thought they would following that trade, but the one thing a lot of people said was kind of like, who's Mackenzie Weegar? And the people who had watched him said, oh, you wait. Like, he's the guy in this trade that, you know, not that you should be talking about, but you will be talking about. And that's kind of come to fruition. He's every bit as good as I think anybody could have ever hoped.
Well, and I think he's got the opportunity to take another step this year. I really do, because of what we just talked about. Because we're talking about a player who is so invested, because we're talking about a player who truly, and I think Mackenzie is smart. I think he realized he's had an 8-year contract. He committed to 9 years as a member of this team. And when you commit to 9 years, you know, you kind of are in a situation where the organization of the direction of the team, you kind of have to be on board with. So he doesn't really have a choice, even though I don't think when Mackenzie came here, he was expecting a rebuild in such a short time frame. It's happening, and you kind of have to recognize your scenario and say, okay, this is it. Let's be a part of the solution so we can get from point A to point B as soon as possible. And I think that's a really good investment level to have. And it makes me, I see a lot of Mark Giordano from, you know, 8-9 years ago in Mackenzie Weegar right now. Similar ages to when they were really starting to establish themselves truly as what they are as a member of the Flames, being engaged, being invested, wanting to be a part of the solution. I don't think Gio never wanted to leave the city and leave the organization. And then the other thing is I don't think it's out of the question that we're talking about Mackenzie Weegar truly in the mix to represent his country in a best-on-best event in February. Like, if you take a look at Canada's blue line, I think Uyghur is right in the mix to be on the Canadian roster for the Four Nations faceoff in February, which would then put him in the mix to represent Canada at the Olympics a year later. And don't devalue how much impact that could have in terms of his headspace and his motivation.
Yeah, agreed. He's in that mix. He's going to be in tough. I mean, obviously we've got some great defensemen, but he's kind of emerged into that conversation for absolute sure. And hey, he's another guy that, you know, he's very personable. I think that, you know, when we talk about the potential of a guy being a captain, like, you have to be able to have a relationship with the media, and you've got to be comfortable, you know, talking to the media on a daily basis. And I certainly think he's got that in him for sure as well. And he's never going to embarrass your organization or anything like that. So, you know, all those ingredients. But anyway, this wasn't intended to be a conversation kind of on, is he the future captain? I think we've had that conversation before, and I think we'll have it again. But, you know, him and Anderson certainly give you two pretty good role models for the other young guys who are trying to find their way in this league and understand what it takes to be future Mackenzie Uyghurs and future Rasmus Anderson. So while they're here, I think it's great for these young guys to learn from, because, you know, the one thing we do know, they've got so many good young defensemen in the pipeline. The question is who's going to learn the most, the quickest, and grab these spots as they emerge over the next 2, 3, 4 years. Right.
It is.
Hey, can I?
Yeah. Go ahead.
You can finish your thoughts on Uyghur, and then I'm going to throw a bit of a wild card at you.
Sure. I'm pretty much, I think that know, my thoughts are wrapped up. I was just going to say, it's going to be a really interesting year to see to what extent they exceed or don't exceed expectations, but hit me with your wild card.
Okay. And this is not to suggest that the Calgary Flames should have done this, but, you know, I'm just curious if you think that, you know, the Calgary Flames potentially should have been involved, I guess, in the Patrick Laine trade. You know, and I'm not sure that the Flames were involved. I haven't made any calls to front office types and such lately. I really like the trade for Montreal.
Yeah.
Look, I think Patrick Laine, you know, it's so troubling that he's forever been knocked because of his lack of work ethic, right? Or regular work ethic, right? When he's on, we know he's one of the better goal scorers in the league. When he's not, he's invisible, and there's really not much he can add to a team. He's been disinterested at best a lot of his career. I think that's fair to say. So I'm not 100% sure that he's going to go light it up in Montreal, but he seems to kind of, this gives him a new lease on life. You know, I know he's dealt with some mental issues and went through the player assistance program, and hopefully he's come out with a, you know, renewed realization and straight, you know, his mindset is such that he understands he's given a huge opportunity here to go to Montreal and really be an impact player. I really bring this up mostly because the Montreal Canadiens just put on a masterclass in asset management with Sean Monahan. They took him off the Flames' hands and got a first-round draft pick. If Monahan never really evolved,
they got two first-round picks. They got a first-round pick for taking Monahan and then flipped him for a first-round pick less than a year, a year and a bit later.
It was like remodeling a car, right? Taking it, refurbishing it, and then selling it for you know a crazy amount of money. And I just wonder if we're going to watch this same thing play out with Laine in Montreal. If he gets off to a good start, like, even if this doesn't work out, they still got a second rounder for him. I know they gave up a pretty good defense, but they've got a million good defensemen. So that wasn't a problem. They dealt from a position of strength, and they took on $8.7 million in cap space for the next 2 years with Laine. That's exorbitant for a guy who hasn't scored 30 goals in eons, but they don't, that this is all about asset management, and with cap space and the notion of weaponizing it, you know, the Flames, I think, need to do stuff like this down the road.
Agreed.
By doing stuff like this, I'm not saying Laine was the guy, but I'm just kind of throwing him out as an example. Like, did it strike you at all when that happened? Like, oh, wow, that could end up having a really, you know, not only do they just end up with a second rounder, and yeah, they got to pay $17 million in salary over the next 2 years. It's a lot, but they weren't going to spend the cap anyway. And on top of it, if you can flip Line A back into a player again, then at the trade deadline this year or next year, you could suddenly get a pretty good asset if he returns to being a 30-goal scorer. Anyway, over to you. What were your thoughts when I throw the Line A trade?
So, first of all, I agree 100% that type of deal is something that Craig Conroy needs to be in, and everything I understand is open to being a part of. I remember I asked him on the draft floor in Vegas, and he's talked about it at other times about how that's something that they absolutely are open to, is taking back a contract that might be a little cumbersome on another team's cap. And the Flames have, I believe, only one team in the league right now has more active cap space than the Calgary Flames do. Flames are at about a little more than $19 million of free cap space to play with. That gives them a lot of flexibility, so that if there is some sort of trade that needs to happen in season and a team is gearing up to do one thing, but they need to clear out space elsewhere, that the Flames could take that on. Now, the Line A one specifically, I don't believe made a ton of sense for this organization. Line A age-wise isn't quite in that range where they'd want to be. And I also think by acquiring Line A, it would further jam up a forward group that is going to be really interesting to see play out for a guy like Matt Coronato or Jacob Pelche for this year in terms of where they fit. So Line A specifically, I don't know if that made a ton of sense. But moves like that going forward, I think make nothing but sense. And I think the Flames should be very much looking at making those types of deals, because it just gives you more things to work with down the road.
100%. And I think that they are going to do something like that. And I'm not convinced, like I said, because of the work ethic issues with Line A, I'm just not convinced that was the guy to do it, you know, and spend almost $9 million in caps, but, you know, eat up half of that $19 million, you know, with this guy. I was just intrigued. I just wondered, you know, I don't follow social media, so I don't really know, was there a buzz out there that people are saying, man, the Flames should have done this, or I wonder if the Flames considered this. I just thought I'd throw it out there and see what you thought. But I think we're in the same boat. He's not the guy, but there are guys going to be out there. There are lots of guys in this league that are grossly overpaid, and teams are dying to get out from underneath those contracts so that they'll have flexibility to try and piece together their cup contending teams. And so I would be very surprised if the Flames don't, you know, stick their neck out and try to do something like this. Ben, that was such a lesson for the whole league to see what they did with Monahan. And, you know, he could have just as easily not have given them the second first rounder, but it still would have been a good move, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Before we wrap, last week you gave us the details on the Eric Francis Pizza Pig out. Hit us with them once again. What are we talking about for Pizza Pig Out 2024?
I appreciate it, my man. Listen, Eric Francis, pizzapigout.com is the place to go to get your tickets. There are still some early bird tickets left, but they go pretty quickly. I'd put up a post on, on Twitter, about it, or X, whatever. And, with a link that I thought was leading to the ticket sales. It was just a link to the website. But either way, you go to that website or you go to my Twitter feed, you'll see the link right to the ticket sales.
Okay.
It's October 17th. It's a Thursday, and it's going to, you know, 500 to 700 pizzas will be there, and we're doing it all for kids sports. So thanks for the opportunity to mention it again.
October 17th for the 2024 Eric Francis Pizza Pig Out. We'll hype it up lots more as we move closer to it, but the date is set at Cowboys for October 17th. Looking forward to it, my friend. We are off next week, and then after Labor Day, the Eric Francis Hour without fail for the coming hockey season. We'll talk to you then, my friend.
Appreciate it, my man. Enjoy your week off. You get a lot of them. I love it.
Well, I won't have one for a while after this, so I really am going to enjoy this one.
You will. I know. Okay. Thanks, bud. Cheers.
See you, Jeff. Eric Francis of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca as we start to wrap things up this hour. And that is the aptly named Eric Francis Hour, brought to you by, as always, our friends at Horse Racing Alberta. Live standardbred racing is every Friday and Saturday at Century Downs Racetrack and Casino. Visit thehorses.com. Must be 18 plus. Please play responsibly.